The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You've never had a stinger?
Of course, I've had stingers, yes. Yeah. But that's
have
why...
Have you? You guys had them?
I got to be honest with you. When someone says stinger,
yeah.
The first thing I think of, well, is a bee. The second thing I think of is that injury that you're referring to.
Yeah.
And I never, ever, ever think of it being a golf shot.
Oh, you see? The socket. It's probably connected to her apartment. So what we'll do, we'll take this paperclip and we'll bend it. So it'll short out the entire circuit.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just take a knife and stick it in an outlet.
Okay.
That's the best way to simulate it. It doesn't hurt. It just kind of wakes you up.
We've been over this. You don't do that.
Yeah, but the consistency with which his brain works, that is exactly the same way he described the stinger when we were talking about Marcus Smart.
Here you go.
Oh, I think I'll let you do it.
It's easy. You just do it quickly.
No, I really don't want to.
What? I don't want to either.
I thought you'd done this before.
Well, I have. It's just... It's no big thing.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Remember Kramer? Sticking the...
I mean, we got 4% of Gabe. We don't have 0% of Gabe. Of course he remembers Kramer.
Yeah, do it quickly.
Fine, fine. We'll do it.
Oh, Mama.
You okay?
I'm going to lose that nail.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he want to fight. He doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They make the plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he want to fight. He doing nothing but running his mouth.
Pick your fighter. Who you got? In one corner,
Sub-Zero.
Nick Saban. Is he the de facto face of college football, whether
yes.
we like it or not?
Mm-hmm.
He's 70 years old.
Is that old?
He looks great for 70.
Is that a compliment?
I think so.
If you have to 70? Qualify the compliment with a four blank age, is that a compliment?
I'm saying yes.
I think it's a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. If you say you look good for you.
I mean, you do look good for you today, buddy.
Is that a compliment?
But if you say you look good for your age.
I think that's a compliment.
Okay.
No? Well, probably different for women than men.
Probably, yes.
Right?
I think, again, if somebody says to me, dang, you look good for your age, it's like, you could have just stopped. You could have just stopped after the
look, you look good,
but you had to throw on that backside, which really feels like a backhanded compliment. In the other corner, too, we have Jimbo Fisher, former assistant to Nick Saban, head coach at Texas A&M, and it is a huge brouhaha. There are people who are calling this the most memorable exchange in college football, perhaps in all of sports. So let's get you caught up on how this all went down very quickly. Apparently, Saban, a few nights ago, Wednesday night, was sitting at some bougie event, sitting on some stools, microphone in hand, and he decided to take some shots at the Texas A&M program, which is, of course, helmed by his old buddy, his old assistant coach, Jimbo Fisher. What did Nick Saban say to start this whole thing, Ashton?
But I know the consequence is going to be difficult for the people who are spending tons of money to get players. And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
Bought every player? Like, for 1 minute, let's ignore the implications of talking about buying people in a sport that is primarily black men, right? Like, there's a whole nother layer of implication there that we're not going to get into this morning, but should be noted. So Jimbo Fisher calls a press conference. There was no press conference scheduled. He just was like, Gather the media. I got some stuff to say. Let's hear from Jimbo Fisher responding to the shots fired from Nick Saban on Wednesday night, Ashton.
It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. They broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the, and the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things, and these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parody in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parody. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything.
In a feud where you can't use, like, classic insults that I would want to use that would make Ashton sweat, like dip.
Yeah.
Asshat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great one.
He is mad, though.
Is calling someone a narcissist, like, the top, like, dig at someone you can throw out there?
Clean, like a clean
yes.
dig.
Yes.
But it's heavy. It's weighted. It's yeah. insulting. Yeah,
but
I think it's right
true.
Up there.
Right?
Is it a dig if it's true?
Now, if Saban's wrong, and I like Saban, I'm kind of sick of Saban, but he's just flat. Saban's problem is he's had this monopoly on kids, the five stars, for pretty much his whole career. Now that's kind of going away. So, Nick, what's the matter? You have to play with a three-star and a four-star, which makes life a little more difficult, which really we're going to see what kind of coach you are. Because I've been saying this for years. Are you a great coach when every player you have is a five-star? I'm more impressed with Cincinnati. Michigan State back in the day, you know. Wisconsin, for that fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many five-stars do they get?
Not many.
Yeah. So shut up, Nick. Shut up. These are kids. It just blows my mind, because what should happen, and the problem is with this NIL, you have corporations or people who are loaded saying, here, kids, here's $100,000, wash my car and play football well. What should happen is the no washing of the car. The NCAA should, with all this money from TV they're making, saying, here's $100,000, play football. And then you don't have an NIL problem. The problem, the money goes all to these coaches, and now they're huffing and puffing that the money has to go somewhere, is going somewhere else. Shut the hell up, Nick Saban. Sorry. That's a little early segment for me, though.
So the problem, so listen, the
Wait,
problem is I'm not sure anybody's going to side with Saban on this, Chew. And if you are siding with Saban, let us know, 800-990-3776. I'm not sure that anybody out there is going to side with Saban for a number of reasons. One, he's been the Don, he's been the Czar, he's been the top of the mountain for a very long time. It is just human nature, philosophy, sociology, whatever you want to call it, for people, humans, to root for people till they get to the top of the mountaintop, and once they're there, to root for them to fall, right? Jimbo Fisher was the first head coach to beat Nick Saban, who had previously worked under him, ever. It had never happened before until it happened last year. So you got that added to this mix. You got Saban and Alabama coming off losing the national championship, and then they get beat in the recruiting race. They mm-hmm. get beat by Texas A&M in the recruiting race. So there's some cracks in the veneer. It's starting to feel like people are figuring out ways to chop the head off of the thing that Nick Saban has going on at Alabama, but he has to be very careful. You have to be very careful taking shots at people who theoretically know where the bodies are buried. You know, it's always why you've laughed whenever he and Lane Kiffin have gone back and forth, and it's like, okay, but Lane's a goofball. Lane's a knucklehead, right? He's never going to go toe-to-toe with Nick Saban. Fisher's got some power behind him.
Yeah.
Fisher's got some stuff. And when he said that you might want to check, this is what he had to say yesterday when he was saying, like, look, you think he's God, but I know where the bodies are buried.
It's amazing. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We Ooh. Built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out.
Ooh,
this
what
is
he does
good.
And how he does it. And it's despicable.
Wow, that's good.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Okay, you take shots at Harbaugh. Harbaugh doesn't know. Harbaugh's guessing. He could guess that maybe you were doing some stuff. Fisher knows, right? And so when he says that stuff, it carries a little weight. You're going, ooh, I want to know about those things. I want to know how Nick Saban skirted the rules and what things he did, because he's always presented himself as, we do things the right way.
Yeah.
So who's gonna do the digging? Like, I doubt it's going to be somebody locally in Tuscaloosa.
Kiffin's going to play both sides of this. Did you hear what he said about you? Kiffin is loving this.
Kiffin's going to be the instigator.
But shouldn't the goal be to get these kids as much money as you can?
Personally, for me.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
If somebody's willing to pay you that money, yes. Like, the same reason that somebody's willing to pay Nick Saban $9 million or all these. I mean, Saban for a while was the only one making $9 million, and now we're getting close to like 10 coaches who are going to be making that kind of money. Like, yeah, some of these kids, yes.
Okay, it depends on who you ask. Because if you ask the fans, there are going to be fans who want to cling to the old blueprint, the way that things have always been done, where they're not paid and there is the veil of amateurism. So that's one group that may say, no, I don't want these kids getting as much money as possible.
But these are the same people that think these kids give two craps about their education, right? I had two kids on scholarship and I asked them flat out, you know, I said, what percentage of players that you played with, if they had the chance to either take the money for their education or take the education, right? What percentage would take the money and say, I just want to play football, I'll do whatever, I don't want to go to school? He said about 50%. So the values of these people that don't want to give the kids money, that's your values, right? If you hold education that high, that doesn't mean everyone does, you know? I mean, my wife owned a business where trade workers make 200 grand. I know people that have gone to college that are friends with my kids that are making $17 an hour because that education ain't worth crap.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of kids who get a degree in something that they don't end up using.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with the trades. These tradespeople, we have a shortage. Your father was an electrician.
Yep.
You know? Not every kid is meant for college, even if you're a great football player.
So the fans is one group. Here's another group I got for you guys. I'll play a little devil's advocate here. What about the colleges and universities? What about the colleges and universities who would typically be the beneficiary of all that money, all the boosters' cash that they want to go somewhere because they love spending their money. They love putting their names on the sides of buildings or having the gym named after them or the track or whatever, the engineering school. All that money all of a sudden might not be funneled to the school. All of a sudden it might be funneled to the players. So do the colleges and the universities and the presidents and the administrators, do they want name, image, likeness to be the way that it is? Do they want the money now? Left turn. Now it's all going over here. Because there's a part of me that thinks that they're saying all the right things, but behind closed doors in meetings, they're going, who's going to pay for that library?
But the money in college football, in particular college football and NCAA men's basketball, because of the amount of money that CBS and Turner pay for the right to air that tournament. Like, it could only get so high. Like, you thought that this money could just keep getting more and more and more and more, and you weren't going to have to, like, maybe kick some of it down to the players? Like, I mean, the deal that ESPN is paying for the SEC alone is insane. It's insanity.
I know, but let's...
And when you turn it on, you're going to watch Alabama. I mean, this year, Alabama versus Texas A&M is going to be different because you're actually going to tune in to watch the coaches. But, like, on a typical Saturday, are you tuning in to watch Nick Saban coach or Bryce Young throw the football?
Yeah. There's not 100,000 people in, astrology class in your university, okay? And my daughter, who's a chance to be a valedictorian of her class, high ACT. And I asked her, I said, where are you thinking? She's like, well, I want to go to a good school, and I want to go to a good school with a good football team. That's what these kids do.
Because
now,
that's what you
stop
want to
trying
Saturday.
To fit everyone into this box, because I can tell you this from my friends who went to the University of Wisconsin in the 90s. Wasn't that hard to get into Wisconsin?
And the universities know that, Chu.
Yeah.
They know that, like, I mean, you want to talk about who had a major resurgence. Who knew where Clemson University was before Clemson started clicking off national titles? You know what? Their enrollment, whew, through the roof. Couldn't even, turning people away from Clemson when they were like winning and winning and winning and winning because it's relevancy.
Yes.
And you see it on Saturday mornings and you see it on Saturday nights and you see it in the national title game and you say, holy hell, that looks like a great time.
Yes.
That's how I want to spend my college year. So they know that the success of the football program absolutely begets success for the university. But it doesn't mean they want to share that money. It doesn't mean they're okay with the boosters out there going, you know who I'm going to, Bryce Young, how about you take my $100,000 that would have gone to the journalism school otherwise?
But Jen, we saw this during COVID because these universities have such huge endowments, right? But every time Boston College asks me for money, I laugh at them. Whose endowment is over $1 billion? You can't use that endowment for sports. So why should it go the other way? You know what I'm saying? That was an issue during COVID because these athletic programs were struggling so much with no fans. Can't use the endowment, you know?
That always reminds me, though, of the Coming to America line. Who am I to break the rules? I thought you were the king, right? Like, what are we doing? You
run like
the,
a dog.
You run the university. You run this giant business. Be adaptable. Change. And to be honest with you guys, change and adaptability to me seems to be at the core of this issue with Nick Saban, man. It is a brave new world, Nick Saban. Figure it out, man. You have to adapt. You have to evolve. You have to change. You can't be the curmudgeon-y old guy at 70 years old going, well, back in my day, there was integrity and we did things the right way. And if he's not careful, his legacy is going to take a big hit. It's going to take a big hit here. If he's the guy who has his feet stuck in the mud while everybody else just passes him by. Listen, we've got Jason Wilde coming up next. Lots of things to get to with him, but we absolutely will ask him his take on the name, image, likeness, and the feud that is in full force between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Stick around on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, hut, 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 hut.
All Packers, all the time.
I would think that Rodgers would be good at it. I would think people would try to convince him to do it. But I would think it's most likely going to be a scenario where he would use it as leverage if he had the opportunity to.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you.
Like this Friday has a little bit more feist than normal, you could thank Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban for their very public feud. I know our guy Jason Wilde is a college football fan. I know he likes the Oregon program, not in this particular situation. But Jason, I know you've got your thumb on the pulse of what goes on in college football as well. Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm not sure I have my thumb on anything, much less the pulse of college football. But be that as it may, good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
Good morning.
Well, maybe do you want to start a feud publicly with anyone?
Ooh.
Ooh. No, I've done that before with with mixed results. So no, I think I'll defer on that.
Is the Jason Wilde Target feud like one of the better known? Like, I think that one that expanded beyond Wisconsin. I had pals outside of the state that were like, Jason Wilde, that's the guy who hates Target, right? And I know you've come around on that. You guys have kissed and made up.
No, we haven't. I still don't shop there.
I thought that you did shop at Target. I thought for sure you had said you had finally, you know, kind of buried the hatchet, if you will.
No, I went there I've gone there a couple times in recent years when there was an item that Santa might have been planning on bringing or other events. Other items that could only be found there, so I caved, but no, I still hold very fast to the I don't shop there unless I absolutely have to. Paula is not subject to that rule, by the way.
Have you ever been thrown out of Target, though?
No, I have never. Okay.
Are you trying to one up him over here?
Well, I'm just saying, I know someone that's been thrown out of Target.
You talking to yourself about yourself in the third person
nope,
over there?
No, he's not.
Well, because wait, there are times.
Wait a minute. We're not just going to let this pass without knowing who that person is, are we?
See, the problem is this, Jason. When my wife is thrown out of a store,
allegedly,
it's not her that's thrown out of the store. It's me that's thrown out of the store. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I don't. Actually.
Well, because then it spreads around the employees that, hey, here, Chimera's wife got thrown out of the store. No one knows who the hell Chimera's wife is, but a lot of people know Chimera.
Yeah. That's
I have a question, though. How would anyone physically throw you out of a store? You are
ma'am, you need to leave. No, I'm not leaving. Ma'am, I'm getting the manager. Go get the manager.
Oh, boy.
But,
wow.
But you're a behemoth of a human being. So, if you didn't want to leave, I kind of feel like you could stay.
I wasn't there.
Oh, so you're saying this is by extension. This is not, okay. Is
that,
there a picture, of you on the wall that says wanted or do not sell to this person? Yeah, exactly.
Do not accept this person's money.
Yeah. What do you think of this NIO, Jason?
It has been very concerning to me, and I am fascinated not by the actual, I don't know how you guys feel about this. It's not the drama or the individual coach versus coach crime that I'm fascinated by. What I'm fascinated by is that Nick Saban, who demands, right, of his players, this discipline when they talk publicly, like he limits how much the media can even talk to his guys, right? For him to say this, and I understand he was at a, business leaders, booster, whatever kind of meeting it was, where maybe he didn't expect what he said to get out. Loose lips sink ships, and college football as a whole, like, you're not supposed to talk about this kind of stuff, right? Like these coaches who are part of the seedy underbelly of college football that we've all kind of, and I do it too, kind of made this agreement with ourselves that, hey, we're just going to enjoy college football. We're not going to think about how dirty a lot of the parts of it are and how shady a lot of the parts of it are. Well, the fact that he said this, and then the fact that Jimbo Fisher, and I have some experience with this too, responded as quickly as he did and didn't seem to have much of a governor on what he was going to say because he was so ticked off. I just wonder how bad the effects of this will be. Like, if you're a member of the media, for example, aren't you going to take Jimbo Fisher's advice and start looking for where the bodies are buried, right? Like, you've just... These two, and I don't know, maybe they're crazy like foxes, and this is actually all part of a more elaborate scheme to completely change college sports. But I just thought that these guys both made things even worse and potentially, sicked the dogs on college football to find all the get all the information. I mean, that's what Jimbo Fisher actually told people to do, right? Like, check in on God. And see how he conducts himself.
But, Jay, the fact that's amazing to me, and I just thought of this as you were speaking, Jason, Nick Saban's been around long enough. And one of the first things I was taught when I started radio, hey, there's a microphone in front of you. You should probably pretend like it's live. That way, you're not going to get caught saying something that you weren't supposed to be saying if the mic happens to be hot, what have you.
Right.
So this happened with Mark Murphy, where he thought he was in the bubble and called Aaron Rodgers a complicated fellow last offseason, just days after writing in his own column, you shouldn't be these things shouldn't be spoken about publicly. So Saban should know better at this point. He is the face of college football. And if you say something with the microphone, people have phones and are recording you at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're 1,000% right. That's a great example, because if you remember when we would talk about what Mark Murphy said, I don't know of anyone who disputed the accuracy of that comment, right? Rodgers is a complicated fella. That's a kind euphemism that Ted Thompson came up with. It wasn't a question of whether or not he was being truthful, for me anyway, it was two things. One, let's not quote somebody who's dead that can't clarify the context of what they said. But more importantly, it is true, but don't say those words out loud. Like, it doesn't further, it makes things worse, not better, that you say that. And you're right, he should have known better, but he clearly didn't. But when I look at the Saban,
and we're all thankful that he didn't know better.
Yeah, right? Like, it you know, it certainly made a drop on our show. I just, again, when I watched this story unfold, yes, the salaciousness of coach-on-coach crime was fascinating. But I'm really curious to see what the next kind of shoes are to drop because of it.
So, Jason, we were just discussing, you know, who, if you started to take a straw poll of people who were in favor of NIL and those who were not in favor of NIL, or let's just simplify it by saying players getting paid. I was saying to the guys, like, there's a portion of the fan base that believes that there was an integrity in the amateurism. I don't happen to fall in that category. But there are these people who work for these universities, who back these programs, who don't want to see this money now going to the athletes specifically, because that's money out of the university's pockets. Like, how do you think the library gets built? How do you think the swimming pool gets built and maintained? Like, that's all a lot of booster money that now can go straight to the athlete, incentivizing them to be at their school. So I can't help but wonder if these universities and presidents and administrators aren't going, yeah, we don't really like it that much either.
Yeah, look, we talked about this with Barry Alvarez when he was on last week. We talked about it with Greg Gard. My position is both simple and complicated at the same time. I do think players should be able to benefit in this multi-billion-dollar universe that college sports are in. I do think they should be able to benefit from that. I remember seeing jerseys in the UW bookstore when I was a student, and they were number 24, right? That was Michael Finley's number. Michael Finley, you know, obviously ended up making all kinds of money in the NBA, but he didn't benefit at all. And the university was putting jerseys without his name on it, just a number, on all the kids' backs that were going to the games. And that, I didn't think that was right. At the same time, here's the complicated part. It, as I said to Barry Alvarez and to Gardo, it's the wild, wild west. Like, they don't have any real clear rules that they're following or not following. And this idea that, oh, you can only earn NIL money once you're on campus and it can't be used as an enticement. That was the point that Saban was making. But let's be honest, at Alabama, it's not, okay, they're not maybe offering the quid pro quo of commit and you'll get this money. It's more, commit, and eventually you'll get this money, but we can't give it to you now. And so it's just a mess. And for those of us that think both they need to govern their sport and keep the playing field level and think that it's okay and should be okay for players to be able to benefit in some way from their collegiate earning power, it's a really complicated issue. And the other problem I have is I spent most of my career, at least the first half of it, covering all the sports that aren't going to have big NIL number money, right? Women's basketball and soccer and volleyball and all that stuff. And as I have said many times, I am really worried about those sports because those experiences augment those kids' college lives. And we need to be able to make sure that we can still fund those. And the way we're going right now, I'm worried about that.
Jason Wilde joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Before we let you go, Jason, I wanted to ask about Aaron Rodgers because he did mention, as you said yesterday on our show, that he was going to be at OTAs in May, some of OTAs. How much should we expect Aaron Rodgers? Is it one day, two? Like, if you had to guess where Rodgers is now and noting the situation with the team and the wide receivers and building chemistry and all that with the offense, what do you think Rodgers is going to do and what do you think he should do?
Yeah, he said a couple of days, right, when he talked to McAfee in May and then the mandatory minicamp. Tom Clements, whom Rodgers hired as the quarterback's coach, said that he doesn't need to be there right now. I mean, that was his direct quote, that he doesn't need to be part of this. He knows what he needs to do to get ready. maybe I'm a sucker for appearances and leadership and all the other stuff that comes with it, to think that he should be there. The part that I don't understand, and that I will be happy to ask him if and when we speak to him during this off season, is, and I've said this to you guys before, from 2005 through 2019, the last off season before COVID, he didn't miss a single off season. And now here we are in 2022. There was no off season program other than virtually in 2020. In 2021, he was having his off season of discontent. Now everything's hunky dory between him and the organization. I don't understand why, if things have returned to normal, why he wouldn't return to his normal program of being there. What's changed, and why does he think that this is best? Because all the other things he's talked about, the intangible things of being there, and leadership and all the other stuff, I don't feel like those have disappeared. So I look forward to being able to ask him that.
And we look forward to the answers to those questions. Thank you, Jason. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
At some used car retailers, price is a bad word. You could pay thousands more for the same used car that Ewald Automotive Group sells. Plus, when you buy from Ewald, you're not alone. For over 58 years, they've been there to help you from sales to service. It's where I go to get my car serviced, and they do a fantastic job. Shop over 600 used vehicles with Ewald's live market-priced inventory, so you'll never pay more. Save a ton at Ewald, and it all starts at ewaldauto.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
I think we miss Chris in so many different ways that we don't even realize, especially on the defensive side and the defensive rebounding side in this series.
Fridays with Mo.
You can't leave Kringle out for 24 hours.
Dude, come on. You think that's... I'm not the Kringle cleanup repairman.
Now he's flexing his owner muscles here.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
Good morning, Craig Karmazin.
I'm flexing those muscles.
Were your ears ringing yesterday when we were talking about you?
Not sure. Were your ears ringing when I was talking about you?
Yes, they were.
Craig, you have no muscle. You're a schluber.
I know. I worked out with the trainer this morning. It's pretty...
135 yet or no?
No.
That's embarrassing. Jen does 135. You can't do 135?
I haven't tried. I haven't graduated from Zooms in my basement yet.
So, Craig, I asked if your ears were ringing yesterday because we put it on the ESPN Milwaukee Twitter poll yesterday. Those people who start presentations with, "Good morning! Oh, you can do better than that! Good morning!" That's you, right? You do that? You've done that?
I've never done that once in my life.
That is not true. That is the biggest lie ever told on this show.
Gabe, I've never done that.
That's not true. We had an all-team meeting a couple of weeks ago in which you did that.
No.
You're a toad. Yeah, just...
Never.
We took a poll. 98% said, yes, you're a morning toad. Just own it. It's not a big deal. I don't even think it's a negative.
I'm a late-night person. There's no chance I would ever do that. And your ears were ringing because last night at the Milwaukee College Prep event, where Greg Scalzo, a number of us attended, the mayor came up and did exactly that. Now, it wasn't the good morning. It was the good evening version of it. And Mayor Cavalier Johnson of Milwaukee did that exact thing last night after I heard you talking about it yesterday morning.
I just can't believe you're denying
that. Are you trying to tell me that the mayor doesn't listen to our show? Is that what you're saying?
He's deflecting and trying to bring the mayor down.
I think the mayor was doing it just to taunt you. I think the mayor was doing it to taunt you.
I suppose it's possible.
I would never, Gabe, what meeting? This is all on video. We can document.
Yes, okay. Oh, that's a great point. I am going to go find this audio. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
So when we put it on the poll yesterday, 89% of people said, shut the bleep up when someone does that. It's an irritant, right? It's already morning. We're gathering for a meeting. I don't want you trying to tell me that I can do better with my salutation. I can probably do better with my expense reports. I can probably do better with my content on the radio show. But me telling you good morning, we have bigger fish to fry, is my point.
And
I agree.
And Craig, this is coming from a former cheerleader who does that, and she's calling you a toad.
I'm not that person. So I'm in full denial mode. I'm not a morning person. I could never see myself doing it.
Until the evidence proves you wrong. Hey, you've been following this Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban thing, all the feistiness surrounding college football right now as two of the faces of college football go at it?
Never heard of either of them. Sorry.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question, though, because it does feel a little like in the college football space, the landscape is changing, right? And we talked about it even from a Nick Saban standpoint. Let's just look at a few things, okay? Nick Saban, they lost to Texas A&M last year, marking the first time that a former Nick Saban assistant ever beat him in a game. Then they lose the national championship game, and Georgia ends up winning. And then they are the number two team in recruiting to Texas A&M. So it kind of feels like, you know, Nick Saban's not having a great year when it comes to performance, production, etc. How important is it for somebody like him, who leads a program, is the face of that university, and maybe even the face of all college football, to be adaptable, to be able to evolve when things around you start changing, not to dig your heels in and go, no, this is how we've always done it, and this has always worked for me, so this is how we're going to keep doing it while everything around you seems to move forward?
You know, you have to be adaptable, but I think he is, and I think regardless of what he says around him, the Alabama program is adapting. So, like, you know, they lost to Texas A&M when Johnny Manziel was there. Texas A&M has always been paying their players more than Alabama has been paying their players. And Alabama's still going to win more football games year after year than Texas A&M. So I think it's the adaptability for any organization is, you know, essential. But I think just because Nick Saban's public persona isn't that, doesn't mean that he's not an expert at it. And behind the scenes, the Alabama program, I would just say they're adapting as quickly as anyone.
But this was a misstep by Nick Saban. And Gabe mentioned it earlier when we were talking to Jason. Like, if nothing else, there was an open mic in front of you. You have to assume all things that you say are being heard by all people. I don't think he wanted this to get out. I think there's that idea of, like, Nick Saban is indestructible. He's invincible. And in this case, he was careless.
Yeah, I didn't like the Deion Sanders piece of it. I think if he did every other side of it except the Deion Sanders piece, I actually think he would have been okay, because, you know, the news cycle is such that it'll bounce off him. The one thing that I do think will get back and will actually lose him players at some point is the Deion Sanders comment.
Yeah, but Craig, isn't the focus to get these kids as much money as they can get?
Yeah,
right. I mean, the NCAA.
And if they come to Alabama, they're going to get
the NCAA
as much money
essentially
as
said, "Look, we don't want to give you any of our money. You know, we want to keep it all, but you can go get what you can." And that's essentially what they're doing. And I don't have a problem with it.
Right. So, do you really think that if Alabama wants a kid, they're not going to be able to get in the door with him? And when they get in the door with that kid, they're not going to be able to show them that at Alabama he's going to make more than anywhere else? You know, it's really not going to. They're still going to get in the door. They're still going to get the kids. It's not going to have a meaningful impact. Although I do think, as I said, I think when it comes to historically black colleges, I think there's a misstep, because I think he made a generalization that's going to, you know, work against him if there is that spot where there is a an incoming freshman who's considering a historically black college. And I think that legitimately could cost him a kid.
Do you think people would care, though, if the University of Wisconsin essentially paid kids and won a national championship
under the guise of name, image, likeness?
Yeah.
No,
I don't either. I think the problem is Saban just he's got his little monopoly here, and his monopoly is being affected now because now, God forbid, he's got to play with a 4-star and a 3-star, and he doesn't get every 5-star known to man, and that's the real problem.
Craig, I'm curious.
He's still getting the 5-stars. He doesn't like the change. The same way, you know, Jay Wright may not be a coach right now because he doesn't like the change, right? I mean, I think these coaches have lived in a warped world where they've had free labor and they've had all the control.
Yeah.
And now think about it. After 40 years of being in an industry, all the rules have changed. So it's expected that they wouldn't like it. But again, you know, Nick Saban venting on it is different than Nick Saban being unable to adapt to it. And I think we're going to see Nick Saban in Alabama adapt to it really well.
So one of the other things that happens when you're in a position of power, and Craig, you understand this given your status and your position, is that...
Oh, my immense power.
But I'm being serious here. I know that we joke around and we call you the president of the company and whatnot, but seriously, like, there are times where I feel like I'm having a little bit of success in my career and I'm starting to feel myself a little bit. You start to walk with a different swagger and all of a sudden that's when, poof, I fall down the stairs. Like, literally, and this isn't a metaphor, I will fall down the stairs and I look up at the sky and I'm like, oh, there you got me, big guy, yeah. I was feeling myself a little too much. Is Nick Saban feeling himself a little too much here? Because it feels a little
Nick Saban,
he doesn't expect anybody to challenge him, and then he all of a sudden is like, oh, I am now in a hornet's nest.
No. I mean, Nick, again, this is nothing in the scale of Nick Saban and controversy and everything. This is a one-day, two-day thing. Nick Saban's going to be fine. Nick Saban was feeling himself after the first or second national championship, there would have been a violation. They would have gotten lazy. They would have not recruited to the level. He has built a powerhouse organization that year after year is sophisticated enough that it will adapt to whatever the rules are.
What happened to Patino? What happened to Patino? He was doing this for years, and all of a sudden there were snippets. I mean, in the world of investigative reporting, you don't think someone's going to go out there and try to find something on Saban and find it?
I think that has been what – you don't think every SEC team for the last 14 years has been trying to find something on Saban?
Yeah, but what do they want to do? It doesn't matter if you get the coach at Kentucky. They want the king of the hill, right?
Right, and they've been gunning for Saban for 14 years, and they haven't been able to get him. And it doesn't mean every year he's going to win, and we've seen Clemson build a program at the same level as Alabama over a 5 to 7 year period. So it doesn't mean someone can't build it at the same level, but Alabama's not going to go to being a mid-tier SEC program all of a sudden.
So
there may be an A and B, but they're going to be at the top.
So you think that Jimbo was just speaking out of his butt? Where he said, hey, someone should look into his past. Do you think he was just upset and just threw that out there, or there's something to it?
I think, I'm sure Jimbo knows something and, has a thought on something and feels like, hey, Alabama got away with stuff over the years that, that all SEC schools were doing, but that Nick Saban is painted as a holier-than-thou, and now he's acting like a holier-than-thou, and Jimbo wants him to get bit by it.
Just feels a little like sour grapes. It feels like you lose the game, you lose the championship, you lose the recruiting battle. It just feels a little like Saban's over here sour grapesing his way through things.
I don't even think it's as much those, because I think they still had an incredible season. I think it really is, hey, wait. I used to have all the power. I used to have all the control. College football coaches are supposed to be the god on campus. Like, what? Now players? I'm making $15 million a year, but the players are going to make $5 million a year?
But when you say it out loud, Craig, it sounds ridiculous. Say it out loud again and tell me who's going to side with you on that. I used to be in control. Now other people are in control. Well, this is just not going to stand.
It's when the rules have been one thing for 30 years, your entire adult life, and then all of a sudden they've changed. So it's a venting. But again, will Alabama this year? Okay, give me the over-under on Alabama wins this year.
Yes.
He's 70 years old. How much longer can he actually be at the helm of this program, and how much longer is Alabama going to be a powerhouse? Has he set them up for future success because of the, I talk to guys all the time who say, like, look, the best thing about working under Nick Saban was you realized how to build a program, right? It was about routine, it was about consistency and all of these things. That's why guys who have been under Saban go on to have success elsewhere. Do you think that when he retires or when he walks away from the game, Alabama will still be a powerhouse because of what he's left behind?
Who knows, right? Because, who knows what happens between then and now? Same thing with Bill Belichick, right? Who knows if, what the Patriots are going to be, when Bill Belichick leaves? But, Jen, you're closer to college football than any of us. If you had to pick one team right now, one team to be in the college football playoff this year, who would it be?
Alabama is always the safe bet.
Right? If you had to stake your career on one team being in that Final Four this year, pretty sure it would be Alabama.
I just think the pride goes before the fall, and he has to be very careful about the haughtiness that he's exhibiting.
Well, why don't you crack open your wallet and let's get Emory in there?
Well, once I get 135 up, I think I'm going to inspire them.
I understood about 11% of that sentence.
You both gave me a look.
It's pretty highbrow conversation we're having now.
One open Emery. I don't know. I thought we were talking about drinking. Maybe there's a new stout out there. I don't know.
New Seltzy. Emery.
Craig, thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again soon.
Have a great weekend.
Didn't
and go
even
Bucks,
get
by
to
the way.
Jab him about the NBA t-shirt he was wearing at the game the other day.
Oh, son of a...
I just want everyone to have fun was the text he sent back to me. He was wearing an NBA, the NBA logo shirt at the Bucks game. Game six.
After he joined us last week saying it was such an important game for Bucks fans.
For the crowd to be behind them and usher them to victory, he wears a shirt that says NBA. I said, what's the guy's name who did the MLB hat?
Rob Lowe?
Yeah, Rob Lowe.
No,
I said,
that was
okay,
the
Rob.
NFL.
Oh, he wore both. Rob Lowe?
He did MLB too?
Yeah, now maybe the second one was a spoof of the first one, but he definitely wore both.
Yeah, first time was NFL.
And then he wore the MLB hat.
So
let's just call Craig
Rob
Crimson.
Actually makes those?
Let's just call him Rob Lowe from now on. Thanks for joining us, Rob Lowe. We'll talk to you again next week. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Be right back after this.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What's up with the name Sticky
but
Bun?
But quite
by the
filling.
Way?
It's very sticky.
I was wondering that as I was ordering it, by the way.
I've never called it a sticky bun.
And I'll take 10 of your sticky buns.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just say, Mark Chmura, that you are operating at quite a high level today.
Oh, boy.
I am?
She's going to jinx it again.
I just
considering
said...
you took a pry bar to the old noggin yesterday.
Yeah, we're me and Chernobyl Corner in a fight.
Oh, broken boy. Up? You guys are broken up?
Well,
wait, did he hit you in the face with a pry bar?
He didn't hit me.
Did you deserve it?
All right.
Probably.
We're broken up.
We're working on my
tractor, and I had to move a little steel, and I'm kind of like crouched down to get an angle to do it. So he's holding on to probably a 5-foot pry bar, which probably weighs about 30 pounds. So, you know, when you're looking at something, but you got your hand up and you're trying to find it. So he just decides to drop it, and it drills me in the face. And he didn't think he was wrong.
Well, I should have been holding on to it.
I'm like, I'm trying to look here. Why didn't you make sure it was in my hand, you idiot?
See, that's such a generational thing, if I'm being honest. No offense.
Yeah.
Just apologize. You dropped a pry bar on somebody's head. It doesn't have to be like it was your fault. Just say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? You know, but like there's this whole generation of people that immediately deflect. Just find someone else to blame. It's got to be someone else's fault. I'm not capable of shouldering the load here. Somebody else has to take blame for
it. And it clanged me. I mean, it did a little doing, and I went down to one knee, and he's like, you should be listening. So I got him back today. So he was going turkey hunting with his buddy at 4 a.m. So I'm rolling through at about 5:45 and knew where he was. I'm just laying on my horn. You know?
Just for that, you ain't getting any corn. None of my corn.
I won, but my face is killing me.
I don't understand. Your head made a doing? What are you, a gong?
I don't. Well, it's...
I mean...
Hollow things do make kind of a gong noise, Jen.
Somebody got two shoes in there, crying out loud.
Yeah.
Clanging around like the dryer. The old cement mixer trying to mix up the smarts and the stupids.
So I was waiting for someone to say, what did Angie hit you? And I was going to say, look, if Angie hit me, it'd look a lot worse than this.
If Angie hit me, I'd be dead.
Yes.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.